Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrew.
Amen, my sister.
Hallelujah. Welcome to another live show. Welcome to Sister Sister. Hallelujah. My name is Sister Ashley, the host of a weekly show. Welcome to anyone who is new. Thanks to our subscribers, our followers, those dedicated to the ecclesiastical order of the Most High, yeah? Hallelujah. Thanks always for your listening ears, for your attention, and for anything and everything that you give, whether it's your prayers or your support to this ministry. We are definitely different. We are the remnant of the Most High, yeah? Hallelujah. Welcome, Mother Jennifer, to the show as my support team. Thank you so much. Let's get a sound check.
Shalom and blessings to you, Sister Ashley. Thank you so much for having me with you tonight on another episode of Sister to Sister, and blessings to you all, Daughters of Zion. It's an honor to be here. I see everyone in the chat room, and it looks like we've got pins rolling in. I can hear you very well. I pray you can hear me as well, Sister Ashley.
I hear you clearly. Thank you to the chat room. Y'all are more than welcome to post throughout the night. This is a sister's chat, a sister's avenue. You're more than welcome to post any information, questions, links, just even your hallelujahs and your support. You're more than welcome. And then if you choose to stay quiet, we appreciate that as well. Let us know if you need us. We have an email address. It's all lowercase. straightwayhelpmeets@gmail.com. You're more than welcome to send your emails. We do keep things full of integrity, very anonymous if need be. We have that avenue is a safety net for you to send your question to the right person. Through years and years of experience, we have dealt with thousands of circumstances. And so that gives me my thanks to the Father tonight, my acknowledgments. I want to thank him for each and every person that he's placed strategically throughout the ministry, from those that are connections, heads of assemblies and support teams just around the world that are able to represent a little piece of Straightway when Yah is doing his gathering. So I hope and pray that he'll continue to gather until the last soul is sealed, that he'll keep his word and his promise with us and save our souls. I praise the Father tonight for many things, for his communication from the throne. Hallelujah. You will get more mature and in tune with his communication as you mature and grow in him. So look forward to the stages of development in your love. I praise him for those stages. I praise him for just his order and his leadership, his requirements that he places upon you. He has a high standard of love for you, and when you produce it, you really do shed dead weight and dead skin. So I want to glorify the Father tonight for every trial, every persecution, every accusation, every trial of love. Personally for me and for my husband's house. I'm very, very thankful to be a part of such a great people. We're heels dug in, going nowhere. Long live the King. Our shepherd, Pastor Dow. Special thanks to Deacon Bell, who has submitted his life to him and will truly follow him behind the scenes, support him on his knees, give all, pray, lift him up, and also command his family to follow. Very, very thankful to follow Deacon Bell, a man that some of you would benefit in knowing if you've never known him or heard him. He's not a man that loves to speak, but he loves to live the word. He loves private conversations. He loves speaking about Jesus. And our conversations are holy, and I appreciate every moment of his time. Very, very, very blessed to have such a tight unit that's forming. I'm thankful for all the testimonies that have come out from different avenues this recent week. Thank you to everyone who's given up all, forsaken all, moving, shifting, changing your life to get closer, to be more serious. Don't be persuaded by any thoughts. Don't let anything persuade you from the love of the Most High Yah. Don't forget the love that you had kindled in the very, very beginning, and may it always press you forward. Special thank you to Pastor for the order that he's established, for those he's ordained, for the leading that he has, that I would never question, for every man that he's judged righteously, every circumstance that he's ever had to judge, whether in light or in secret. Very, very thankful to those who support him. I could go on and on. But bless you all. Everyone who makes himself available for one another, thank you all. You add strength to the body. I hope your conversations are holy. I hope you're being righteous witnesses amongst yourself. Hallelujah. Let's move on to you, Mother Jennifer. Share your heart.
Yes, ma'am. I'd like to acknowledge the Most High Yah for continuing to keep us always giving us more and more of his mind as we shed this carnal, wicked mind that we've been raised in. I'm thankful for his mercies that are new every single day, for his grace that manifests itself daily for us, even in the midst of judgment. I'm thankful for his mercy and his grace in our lives. And it's an honor to just belong to him. It's an honor to know that, you know, we are in his hands and that we carry his spirit. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, such a patient, kind, loving man, a man who truly loves the Most High Yah and shows his love by loving the people of Yah. He has a true love for Israel. He has a true love for the man of Yah. He serves the man of Yah by serving the people, never complaining, never griping. He's very sound, very stable in mind. Even when things around us are not stable, he is always very consistent with his discernment, with his emotions. He's just a very sound man, and so I'm honored to belong to him. I'm honored to be his Ashaya. And finally, I want to acknowledge Pastor Dow for his continued love and support for Yah's people for almost three decades. You know, he's been developing the land of Straightway. He's been following Yah much longer than that, but developing the land of Straightway, and to look at where we are now, to see where Straightway started out from and where we are now, it really is amazing that we can be a part of something so beautiful. So bless you, Pastor Dow, for your continued love for the people of Yah and your continued love for the Most High Yah and the love of your family. And I just want to thank you all for just continuing to stand for righteousness no matter what. Blessings to you and to your family. That's all, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. I do want to announce 23 days until Pentecost. We have some calls coming in. If you're going to make it, let us know so we can coordinate and feed you and have a wonderful experience. So Pentecost coming up on May 16th. Please call us ahead of time. Give us a few days, right? A week or so. Pastor may announce a date, but let us know. Let us know. Give us some time to prepare for you. Any announcements on your end, Mother Jennifer?
That was the only one, Sister Ashley, and you covered it.
All right. Hallelujah. There's quite a few announcements that go forth on Lion's Den as well, and I like hearing them in that avenue, so I'm not going to take those away. He does a great job supporting the ministry, the products, the links, and the channels. So hallelujah for that. You can follow us on Straightway Help Meets. You can follow Straightway Live on YouTube. You can follow Pastor Dow on YouTube. And through that avenue, you can find all related channels and those that are very closely knit with us. I guess I can just go ahead and kick off the show. We got a little bit to cover. I do want to present a thought to everyone about your responsibility within a tribe. You are a witness to many things. You hear dialogue, you hear conversation, you witness one another's life, especially if you're living communally or traveling here, coming on the weekends, etc., living under one roof. You witness a lot of things. You witness behavior and conversation for the good and for the bad to teach and train you, to show you. You know, if Yah is a lamp unto your feet, then he sits that lamp right in front of every step, showing you clearly which way to go, and some choose to go another way. And so I wanted to drop into your minds the order of our Father. He tries the righteous, okay? Keyword, tries the righteous, and he sees the reins, and he sees the heart. And he also is our lawgiver, according to Isaiah 33. Yah is our judge. Yah is our lawgiver. Yah is our King. The word is very, the old covenant establishment and the writings that we have in front of us are in our book. You would be amazed if you dig into the terminology, how you might see the terms that we use at this ministry. It's all Bible. You're going to hear the law, accountability, deliberate, communicate, submit to judgment, evidence, witnesses, one witness, two witnesses. You're going to hear those things. You're going to hear ecclesiastical order. It's come up recently in some videos, and my personal definition of that would be an established order of government within our assembly. Okay, so there is a way that we do that some of you might not be aware of. Elder Mitch coins a phrase. Mother Jennifer, what is it? What's his snitch phrase?
He said, my snitch game is strong.
Snitch game is strong. You know, it takes a lot of maturity to get there, Elder Mitch. I understand it. I'm going to share a couple stories tonight of my snitch game early on. It wasn't always easy. When you're coming into a ministry and you're establishing trust, and then you see that, wait a minute, I can't trust her, and I can't trust him, but him I can, and her I can, and him I can. That's actually what's going on. The dynamic is you pick and choose who you want to trust, and you may or may not choose the right avenue for your soul. You may or may not be deceived, and you may be afraid of what you see or what you hear. It happens. It really does. So I just wanted to let you know, as my sisters, you should not ever fear being seen for who you really are. If you want the Father to see you now and judge you now, then you should not fear man. There's a lot of fear, and it's very evident right now. It's like a dynamic in the atmosphere, a spiritual gag order. Don't say. Don't confess. What is it? What is it, Father? I don't know, but he'll bring it out. He will bring it out. So we have an ecclesiastical order, established order of government within our assembly. We have a chief and pastor. We have elders and leaders. We have the dynamic of bringing your evidence, hopefully as a true witness or a second witness, not a false witness. And why am I saying this? We had a good conversation, me and Sister Brittany, today. And let's pull it up first, Mother Jennifer. Read it for me. I called up Sister Brittany. She is one of our lawyers. And I specifically asked her to write me something, whatever comes to her mind, that pertains to the courts of the Most High Yah. We had, you know, a little bit of conduct, conversation. I dropped just a few words in her mind. I wanted her to be free. I want you to paint a courtroom scenario for me. Make it as long or as short as you want so that me and Mother Jennifer can really talk about it and bring it out so some of you may understand. So we're going to tie everything that I've said, we're going to tie it together, okay? Whether it be how to communicate what you feel needs to be communicated, how to snitch if you need to snitch, how to stay the hell out of something if you need to, you know, just how we roll, even as women, as sisters, you know, supporting the men. So there's many, many things that we stay completely away from, all right? So we're just here to show you what it's like and tell some stories in our life, real life circumstances that happen, so you'll understand. So we're going to go to the letter first. Is there anything you want to say before you read?
No, Sister Ashley, I'm ready to get into it. You ready?
I'm ready, please.
She says, this is my perspective of judgment for women who cannot see themselves. I'm reminded of the verse that Pastor always says, 1 Timothy 5:24. Some men's sins go before them to judgment, and some men's sins go after them to judgment.
Pause,
naturally.
Pause, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
I can't see your face. Can we all just willingly admit in our minds, you know, our week is busy, right? You got things going on. You got your schedule, and you have your children, and you have everything in front of you, and you got all these plans, okay? And maybe you didn't stop to consider your judgment day. Maybe you didn't stop to consider the Father as your judge or your lawgiver. Maybe you didn't stop to think about what your courtroom would appear like. And that's really the vision I would like you to meditate on if you are interested, if you want to go along tonight and follow. If you are the one, if you've ever been called even for a traffic ticket, you know, I was raised with very militant discipline growing up. And so my traffic tickets, no matter how many I accumulated, which was many, by the way, but whether it was the first or the 10th throughout the years, it came with a lot of fear. And when you're in the presence of a judge who holds your life, whether it's parking ticket, and there were other things that occurred that I was caught up in, and those circumstances bring a lot of reflection. I actually spent 2 nights in jail, and until court, awaiting crazy situation. I'm sure maybe y'all have had those circumstances before. Maybe there's something that you were literally guilty of. And I sat in the corner of a jailhouse or a, you know, a block room with a one woman was a lesbian talking through the speaker to the other room to her girlfriend, which you can imagine was filthy to me. One was a lady who was a college professor known for writing her own history thesis, her history books. She had written two history books. In 2 days, we had nothing but time to talk because guess what? Somebody in the facility had a knife and nobody's getting out. So you ain't going out for playtime. You ain't going out for showers. You're coming. I had the experience of a lifetime. So I sat in there and talked with this lady, and this lady, she was judged. Guess what? I'm going to make it in brief because I didn't know I'd share this story tonight. Mother Jennifer, did you know this story about me?
I had no idea, Sister Ashley. I'm listening.
Everybody want to know, oh, my gosh, let it go viral, sound clip it. Ashley went to jail, right? So this lady says, college professor, owned a funeral home, millions of dollars. For the first however many years that she was in there, her family and her husband was very faithful to come in to see her, right? Now, she remarried a woman in jail. Now, the experience in jail, usually from the inside, is all woman-to-woman contact. And this circumstance was, long story short, her son's in California writing some bad checks in her name, gets her in a lot of debt with a particular bank. Now she's running around chasing dollars and chasing his bad checks. Runs into a funeral home owner. She's a funeral home owner. He's a funeral home owner. They got beef. Family's got beef. He's the judge. He's the judge while she's taking care of these bad checks. They get in a fight, argument, contention. Everything goes down in the courtroom, and he slams the gavel, and he says, 12 years. Well, I'm just here for a bad check, 12 years. And we can go throughout all of America, you know, all social media. You know there's so much injustice. You see the video pop up. The guy says, man, 45 years of my life I spent in jail, and I was innocent. They're trying to give me $200,000, you know. Next video said, you know, or what about the woman who lied about Emmett Till, right? You want to tell the truth now. So we live in a justice system that is full of injustice. So our minds are very perverted, very defensive, looking out for yourself, you know, not believing someone can represent you righteously or speak for you righteously. And so that was my experience, right? So I had that two-day experience. It changed my life, literally, you know. You see, everybody who went to jail says jail changed them for life, whatever. So I'm not that guy. Back to the courtroom setting, I was literally, no, I couldn't eat. No, I didn't want to get up. Yes, I sat in the corner with my knees drawn to my chest. Like, did I just lose it all? Like, did I lose my college scholarship? Will I go back? You know, what just happened? It shocked my conscience and motivated me for many years to come. And so pastors also done in previous, I'm almost done, pastors done in previous messages, the dynamic of fear that we have as a people towards the bubblegum machine. You know, someone who pulls you over that's representing the government of this world and you're just paralyzed. And now they're pushing the videos, you know, this guy's drug out of his car and this guy's tased and she's shot by her car side and everybody's looking innocent, right? And the spirit's just luring through America, causing great fear. Well, who's fearing the Creator in that way, right? So as we go back to this, we're going to read this and you're going to see, hey, it's you sitting in that court, no one else, right? You do have your witnesses. You do have your angels. One time teacher came preached, Mother Jennifer, he said, even Yah had two witnesses. He called heaven and earth to witness. You know, I look up at the clouds the other day and I'm like, you're seeing all this? Every cloud that goes by, you're seeing it. We are not going to get by, right? No rock unturned, no hiding. All right? So think about yourself in that circumstance. And that's the way we should be pleading and begging to be clean before the Father, all right, before his return. All right? Please, I hope not to interrupt you again, but that lays some foundation. Back to the letter.
No, I think it was a very good point to make, so interrupt any time. She says, naturally, I'm a lawyer. The vast majority of people who need a lawyer don't clearly see themselves. Most people hire lawyers to fix problems that result from their own lack of judgment or discernment. They had a hand in why they needed a lawyer, but still wanted to blame the other person and take no responsibility for their actions. Many clients will do anything or blame anyone to get out of the situation except themselves. Women truly remind me of clients. We will do or say anything to avoid rebuke or correction, which really means we avoid perfecting holiness. With this mentality, we cannot even begin to make a true and proper repentance before Yahweh. Clients will flirt with you, trying to gain favor, a wife manipulating her husband. Clients will call you all the time as if they're your only client, but you have a business to run. Think of those who constantly seek counseling for the same problems, trying to drain the anointing of the leadership. Other clients want to pay lawyers to fix their case with the judge. For the faith, what do you think gets you out of judgment? Is it giving large offerings or gifts to the ministry? Is it friendship or being friendly with the leaders, wives, or maybe volunteering for tasks when your heart isn't in it, but you know you'll be seen? I was on my college judicial board. We judged violations of our school's code of student conduct. The man in charge called a high schooler who got recently accepted to the university into his office. The man in charge starts the meeting by saying, "Tell me why you think you're here." The high schooler says, "Because I went to an on-campus party, I'm underage, and I got a little drunk, and I'm sorry." The man in charge says, "No, you're here to tell me why I shouldn't rescind your offer of admission to the university."
Pause.
Like this? Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Mother. Y'all pay attention to that for a minute, okay? Since she's saying a lot. Very good letter here. All right, so the man calls him in. The high schooler just recently got accepted to university, which is a big step, right? You got to be accepted. The man says, "Tell me why you think you're here," right? You can say to yourself, or the father saying to you, "Tell me what you did. Repent, turn, you know, tell me what you did." And you go another way, and you point, and you don't say. Or you say what you think, or you say to cover up, etc. There's these hidden motives. And so he says, "Okay, because I went to a campus party. I'm underage. I got a little drunk. I'm sorry. You know, that's why I'm here. You know, you're gonna just talk to me about what I did, right? I'm sorry. I'm sorry works, you know, in his mind." And the man says, No. "You're here to tell me why I shouldn't rescind your offer." Rescind is not resend. It's to revoke, cancel, or repeal. So you tell me why I shouldn't cancel your offer of admission to the university. Tell me, someone call in, tell me why you should be allowed into the kingdom. You know? Tell me. All right? So that's our proper thinking. Go ahead, Mother. Thank you.
She says, like this young man, sometimes we as women don't truly understand the full weight of our actions. I would often write letters suspending students from college, talking about the standard the university had for its students. As women who are representatives of the assembly, we must also hold ourselves to a higher standard that Yahweh has set for us. With this in mind, I imagine the final judgment going a little something like this. The Michael the Archangel says, daughter of Sarah, you may now approach the Elohim of Israel for judgment. The daughter of Sarah says, yes, sir. She approaches the throne and bows down. The Elohim of Israel says, tell me why you think you're here. The daughter of Sarah says, blessed be the name of Yahweh. I am here to enter into your kingdom. Elohim of Israel says, really? No, you're here to tell me about these secret sins that have gone to you to judgment, the sins that you never repented for. The daughter of Sarah says, I do not recall those things. If I may say, for my case, the Elohim says, no, you may not. You know that everything I have, the devil has a counterfeit for. When a woman is charged with murder in a worldly court, do they not have a trial? After the trial, does not the jury deliberate and the sentence given to the judge to enter the final judgment? The daughter of Sarah says, yes, sir. Elohim says, this is judgment, not a trial where you plead your case. When the courtrooms of heaven were open and the devil brought railing accusations against you, I longed to fight for you. I waited for you to repent before me. I gave you the gift of the man of Yah for you to hear my instruction. I gave you mothers of Israel to show you the way. Did you not have a father, husband, elder, or head of community to cover and protect you? Yet you uncovered yourself, stepping outside of my protection to have your own way. You justified your wickedness and could not repent. You were so sure that you were right, that you didn't want my blood to cover you, bringing my sacrifice to naught before my face. You are really here to tell me why I should let you in my kingdom with the secret sins of your heart still inside of you. You never repented for them because you did not want to see yourself. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. There are judgments throughout our history and in our word. And then I've witnessed judgments here. And Ezekiel 16 says, I will judge you. Remember, Yah is our lawgiver. He's our Lord, our King. He's our judge. Okay, he says, I'll judge you, Ezekiel 16:38, as women that break wedlock and shed blood are judged, and I will give thee blood in fury and jealousy. Now, it's not always judgment that's that hurtful and that painful, because we know the power of the blood. What is always the judgment? That the sinner shall die in his sin. You know, the judgment stays the same. But he says, you also, which have judged your sisters, bear your own shame for your sins that you have committed that are more abominable than them. That's how he talked to his people. These are judgments. Consider it a heavenly deliberation throughout the prophets. They are more righteous than you. Does that not sound like a judgment? I will send unto her pestilence. I will send unto you blood in your streets. You know, you shall be judged by sword. As I live, I'm just, you know, these things come into my mind. As I live, saith Yahweh, I will even do according to your anger and according to your envy, which you have used out of hatred, Ezekiel 35. And I'll make myself known unto you when I have judged you. And when you read those judgments, they're really fearful. They should strike fear. If they don't, you need to be honest on your knees and say they don't. Say there's no connection with the word. Start somewhere. We are judged, Mother Jennifer, we're all judged according to the same law, and there's misunderstandings across the board from how that's done, you know, because the people have always represented witnesses, but also accusations, confusion, misunderstandings, misleadings, gossip. Right? That's the dynamic of the lower tier. And when you're on the inside and you understand the dynamics, there's thousands of details that are not made known unto the people, but yet judgment is a process of testing all people to see your heart's response. And when we are judged and chastened by Yah, we should not be condemned by the world, Paul said. So the object is to be judged straight and narrow way so that you're not condemned by anything the world does. There's nothing like them in us. So we set ourselves apart. And for this cause was the gospel preached to them that are dead, you know, no longer living, your flesh is dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to Yah in the spirit. So when you see someone running from that opportunity, it's a really, really poor character flaw, and it also represents the heavenly dynamic. There's no way you're coming clean in the courts of Yah if there's something you're holding here and now. Mother Jennifer.
You know, Sister Ashley, we often talk about how women fail to see themselves. They fail to view themselves in the perspective that Yahweh views them. And when you speak about repentance and confessions, you know, the repentance is not going forward because the view, you know, your view is skewed. You view yourself in a light where you think you haven't done anything wrong. And if you view yourself in that way, then you're not going to be making the proper confessions. And if you're not making the proper confessions, then there won't be repentance. And so you're walking around with blood on your hands. You're walking around with unconfessed sins. You don't view yourself in the proper light. So that's why there's no repentance. Sister Ashley?
Yah has things that he hates, which is why he has to establish, or why he had to establish order in the first place, based on what he hates and based on what he loves and what he wants. And you can read it all throughout the law. So for their hands, they were defiled with blood. He would say their fingers were defiled with iniquity. Their lips have spoken lies. Their tongue has muttered perverseness. He was constantly speaking a judgment upon Israel, but us living now, we don't feel the impact when we read the words. We don't have that fear, but it's coming. And they that committed adultery had blood in their hands. Those that had the idols had blood on their hands. That caused their sons to worship idols had blood on their hands. To cause them to pass through the fire had blood on their hands. So that's why his blood would atone for the filth of the daughters of Israel and of the people in general. It says, the righteous men, they shall judge after the manner of all things, all adulteresses, after the manner of women that shed blood, Ezekiel said. So there were men, and we admire that. I am so, like, to my soul, thankful for it, because it is a safe haven for me to be in that order. It's a safe place. And you can gain peace for your soul, but you can also understand that the Father will intervene to protect his righteous. And man, always, I'm saying this, Mother Jennifer, because it's so new for so many to understand how a man could be given the right to judge or to lead or to, you know, say one thing against another. You know, it's like Pastor said on a video, it's not his first rodeo. So the dynamics of the entire ecclesiastical order is understood by him. But like I said, all the way down the chain, it's misunderstood greatly. And so even Rachel said, Yah has judged me, when she named her son Dan. You know, you should have this understanding and this dynamic with the Holy Spirit that's inside of you. That's a continual judgment, right? Because if you judge yourself, no one can judge you harsher than that. That's why the word can say, no man can judge me, right? So don't get that twisted. Why can no man judge you? Because you judge yourself and you walk so uprightly according to the word that no man can say or judge you outside of that. You're gonna judge your own self. But the men of Yah judged people at all seasons. And they even had hard cases that were brought up to Moshe for, you know, every small matter they judged themselves, and then they had hard cases that were brought up to Moshe. I don't know why this is scary. You know, I'm a part of it, so I understand it. But on the outside looking in, it's intimidating. Why, Mother Jennifer?
Because you understand that these men are operating under the spirit of the Most High Yah. You also understand that these men, they operate in the spirit of Yah. You know, the spirit of Yah is dwelling in them. And even when you look in the book and you see that there were interactions between the men of Yah and between the people, and, you know, in one instance, the man of Yah said, you know, why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? So, and right after that, there was immediate judgment. There was death. And so you really have to look at the book and understand and know that the spirit of Yah dwells in the men of Yah. And these men have been chosen by the Most High Yah, and he has given them his spirit. Sister Ashley?
He has given them his spirit. We bear witness to that. You understand? The dynamic of his order is a witness that's also given first and foremost to leaders and men, but the people follow suit. I personally don't mind saying I don't need some shyster or some weak man out in front leading me, okay? I have a husband first and chiefly foremost, but if you took a poll of women, it's not going to be pretty, you know, if we were just really honest. So I appreciate the strength of the dynamic that's presented here, because we don't want anything less, those of us who live according to the word. So like I said, the men of Yah constantly judged. It was the men. Remember that when you read in the word, it was the men. Like Mother said, the spirit of Yah in the men. But the men, there was, I don't know all the names because, you know, it's a different dynamic or language in our old covenant, but so-and-so judged Israel 6 years, and he judged Israel 8 years, and you can read it. He judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years, you know. What about Samuel, who judged Israel all the days of his life? And he went from year to year in a circuit, the scripture says circuit, but he went from three different places traveling and judging Israel in all those places. And then he would return to Ramah, and there it says in the word that was his house. And there he judged Israel from his home, and there he built an altar unto the Father. So he had a circuit of places that he would judge, which even reminds me of the current circumstance where pastor has a situation that he's saying, hey, I'm drawing you out. Come near. Let's call this out to the front. You be here. I'm going to be there. We can do it in the open because I am traveling throughout this circuit to regulate things according to the word. Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. And, you know, that's the beautiful thing about being a part of a ministry where you have leaders, you have men who are governed by Yah. They're not doing things according to their flesh. They're doing things according to the spirit. So they truly are governed by him. They're not going to go past, what Yah puts on their heart or what Yah puts in their spirit. And so as a woman, it really is a beautiful thing to be able to rest in that. Yes, we keep them lifted. Yes, we understand the burdens that they bear, but we also understand that these are men that are under the control of the Most High Yah. Sister Ashley?
Very well put. So in comes the dynamic of fear. Fear, I mean, by when you are accustomed to our order and you are pleased and submitted to it and living it truly in your heart. This is not, you know, Ashley on a show just puffing up with some words. Like, I'm saying, when you truly, truly trust those who you follow, your husband chiefly, the head of your community, your elder, or this shepherd that you say you follow, when you truly trust those leaders, there shouldn't be fear or fear of offense, or there shouldn't be offense, though it may try you. Who can truly follow who you don't trust? I mean, if there's one mistrust issue, then there's no full commitment to following. And so then Yah gives us the dynamic of men that are in the flesh, you know. Elder Rufus is in the flesh, you know, he's black like you are, for example, and his wife is melanated like you are, and, you know, Brother Kabir, he's tall like you are, and you play football, and, you know, his wife, you know. And so this dynamic of introducing these people that are just in this shell and this vessel of flesh is really confusing for your mind because, you know, they were 5 minutes late to breakfast, or they were not there when you had to be there, or, right? Sister Chris, you know, she should have been out of purification, but she stayed in an extra day. What's wrong with Brother Daniel? And so you forget. The word says, know no man according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. So in comes fear. Isaiah 33 says, Zion is afraid, and fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. He says, who among us shall dwell with devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? How long are you going to, you know, be afraid? How are you going to dwell with something burning you up from the inside? It says, he that walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he that despises the gain of oppressions, this is a list of the things that we should be walking according to, he that shakes his hands from holding bribes, meaning that I'm not going to participate in that, he that stops his ears from hearing of blood, right, I'm not going to listen to the things that are not good, and he that shuts his eyes from seeing evil. So right here you have a dynamic where he's saying, hey, if you're walking righteously, you're speaking uprightly, and you're despising the things according to the word, you're not shaking hands with the people who are, you know, doing what they shouldn't be doing, you're stopping your ears from hearing certain things from different dynamics and communications, different gatherings and cliques, people that are ex-straightway members, people that are, you know, buddy chum on the inside but smoking dope, people that are, you know, they got their pornography on the side and you hold on to it too, you know, with these things permitted by human nature but not by law. And so when you shut your eyes from seeing evil and you stop doing these things, he's saying there's no reason for fear. But oh my, yeah, Mother Jennifer, in comes our stories. Let's go to a snitch account of Mother Jennifer, dun, dun, dun. And I don't even know what it is. I just asked her before the show. I'm like, let's play it all over again, Mother Jennifer. We're gonna pretend like this is the first time. Hey, Mother Jennifer, we're about to go live. You ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right. Do you have any time that you ever like had to snitch?
I do, Sister Ashley. I do, and you know what? It don't hurt no more at all. I think you asked me, did I have a time when it hurt to snitch? And I said,
yes,
you know,
yes.
It don't hurt no more at all.
Hallelujah. I said, that speaks for your maturity, because I remember a time when I had to snitch and I was full of fear because the dynamic of the law was different. And I said, could you share it tonight? And she said, yes. And I said, was it a potential situation that caused someone their soul or the falling out of the faith? Tell them what you said.
Yes, ma'am, it was. And it was actually, it was very dangerous because it was a woman that was involved that many people loved and respected. Many women loved and respected. And this particular woman, you know, started doing and speaking things behind the backs of leadership that would actually attack, you know, what the ministry stood for. Actually started attacking leadership in her words and in her actions. And I remember leaving an incident being very confused about some of the things that were spoken and done. And I remember leaving a meeting and talking with Elder Rufus, and I said, I don't even know what happened. I don't understand it. I don't know why I feel confused. and he and I talked about it, and he said, okay, well, it'll come out when it needs to. And lo and behold, the very next day, it did come out, and I was called into a meeting, and I had to share every single thing that I had experienced in that meeting. And it was very, very fearful because I had never been in a situation like that before, you know, where someone that I looked up to, someone that I respected highly, in my eyes, I didn't see them doing any wrong. And so I learned that I had placed this person as an idol in my life, you know, because I didn't want to snitch, you know, and at that point, it really showed that my loyalty was not towards Yah. My loyalty was toward the flesh. And so I really learned a lot in that situation. And I really had to ask myself and ask the Father, why is it that this particular person feels comfortable coming to me, you know, with this? Why am I the one that's chosen and she wants to come to me and say these things or do these things in front of me? And I remember telling the Father, I never want to be in this situation again. And I truly repented because I've never been in that situation anymore. I don't have a problem standing up for what's right. I don't have a problem for snitching. If you're doing something that you don't need to do, I don't have a problem with that at all. My loyalty is to Yah first and foremost. Sister Ashley?
And that speaks volumes to what you're living for. Because if anyone's tuning in and can't say that, you're dirty. You're dirty in the courts of heaven. It's that cut and dry. Let's go to a clip.
Did I read that? Yeah. It's easy to see how kings chose to be wicked. Blood on your hands. You ever read that before in the scriptures? People have blood on their hands. Now, over in Ezekiel 18:1, the word of Yahweh came to me saying, and I'm reading from the scriptures version, what do you mean when you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are burning. As I live, declares Master Yahweh, you shall no longer use this proverb in Israel. See, all beings are mine. The being of the Father, as well as the being of the Son, is mine. The being that is sinning shall do what, Israel? Die. But if a man is righteous and shall do right ruling and righteousness, if he has not eaten on the mountains, nor lifted up his eyes to idols of the house of Israel, nor defiled his neighbor's wife, nor come near to a woman during her uncleanliness, if he does not oppress anyone, does return to the debtor his pledge, does not commit robbery, does give his bread to the hungry, and covers the naked with garments, if he does not lend on interest or take increase, turns back his hand from unrighteousness, execute right ruling and truth between me and the man and man, if he walks in my law. This is a long resume. Let me take a long resume the way we should be. And has guarded my right rulings in truth. He is righteous. He shall certainly live, declares the Master of Yahweh. You see, in that day, we were one people, come on, days of old, together. Now we are scattered. And instead of trying to live by these righteous laws, we have the same behavior as the Gentiles who we are captive to. Deceit, falsehoods, being sluggard. A little cancer, a selfishness that enters into us. And we can only think about ourselves today. He goes on to say in verse 10, but if he has brought forth a son who is a robber or a shedder of blood, who does any of these, whereas he himself did not do any of these, that he also has eaten on the mountain or defiled his neighbor's wife, if he has oppressed the poor and needy, has committed robbery, he does not return a pledge, has lifted up his eyes to idols or did an abomination, if he has lent on interest or taken increase, shall he live? Shall he live? Let me ask y'all some of the behaviors and attitudes, the way we treat each other, talk to each other, the withholding good when it's in our hands to do good and all this other stuff. I mean, can we ask the same question to you, Dave? Should you live? Should you live? If he has done any of these abominations, he shall certainly die. He didn't just pick out one. He said any of them. His blood is upon him. His
pause for a moment. Remember, you're in your judgment seat for a moment. You know, you're in your court case. It's you and your maker, and he's running his law down in comparison to your life, your lifestyle, or your standards. Let's go back.
His blood is upon him if you choose to do any of these things. But see, if he has bought forth a son who sees all the sins which his father has done, but he fears and does not do likewise. The son saw the foolishness of the father, but he says, I'm not going to be part of that. I'm not going to do that. He has eaten on the mountain and has not lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, has not defiled his neighbor's wife, has not oppressed anyone, nor withheld a pledge, nor committed robbery, has given his bread to the hungry and covered the naked with garments. Don't this sound like the Beatitudes? Turns back his hand from wronging the poor. He has not taken interest or increase, has executed my right rulers and walked in my laws. He shall not die for the crookedness of his father. He shall certainly do what? Live. Stipulation there. If he chooses to be righteous, even though his father's wicked, he's not going to bear the iniquity of his father. He's going to live.
So hold on. If he chooses to be righteous, part of that, let's bring back Mother Jennifer's example for a moment. Part of doing righteous is telling what happened. Okay? So let's go to the reason I even got Blog Talk. Y'all going to be like, what? I have never told this story from end to beginning. Out of, number one, just mere reverence for the circumstance and not wanting to call out an aged woman in her foolishness. She's gone on now, and she sealed her judgment. At the time, I was young, you know, younger, new to the faith. I don't know how many years we've been doing this. Does anybody know? Anybody? Eight? I've been on Blog Talk 8.
Wow.
Wow, Mother Jennifer. Hey, that's fearful to me because that's a lot. That's a lot of words you're accountable for. That's a lot of, you know, it's just a lot of fear that comes with it. That's why we are set apart in doing this. And so, all right, Granny Gaston had initially started off doing what was called a straightway newsletter. Hey, Granny Diane, come here. Granny Diane, it's going to be yes and no's, okay? She loves to listen, y'all. This is my meek and quiet friend. Granny Diane, was it called Straightway Newsletter?
Yes.
Yes. How did it initially start out? Was it once a year she wrote a letter, or like once a season or something like that?
Yes.
Yes. Some of, I know a sister particularly in South Carolina would know because she received early on every letter that was written. So she wrote this. It was just a personal inspiration that she had to write a letter to encourage what she said was the daughters of Zion, people who were younger than her. Now, by the time she was in her 60s on this original show. And so Elder, if I'm not mistaken, your husband had gotten her what was it, CDs, or do you even remember? He had said maybe you should do it, do you remember? Yes? What was that about? What was that like? He changed the dynamic, though, right? He initiated, like, whatever, like, let's take it from that letter and turn it into whatever, right? Okay, so she began to talk live on the show. I'm going somewhere. So she would do it, and what she initially did was take her letter, it was just, like, a couple of pages, scriptures, et cetera, and then she stuck it on a CD. And then, hey, some of our crowd is probably young enough to ever even own one. Go figure, right? And so the CDs was the newsletter, this straightway newsletter going out to the Daughters of Zion. Pastor initiated Blog Talk, right, through his connections. So we go live on this avenue. He goes live, first of all. He goes live. It's him and him alone. He's doing it. It's small crowd. You know, I'd say 98% of the listeners are probably gone, you know, maybe 90. And so that's how Blog Talk originated. And there was a lot of problems early on. I remember just, you know, maybe it was static, maybe you couldn't log in. It was just a lot of hassle at first. There was payments that needed to be made. You know, there was Mike Rebar days and rainy days for some of y'all old shoes, you know, the people. And she comes up to me one day and she says, do you have something you would like to talk about on the show? And I'm like, I'm not interested. Now, mind you, she was doing it maybe once a month at this point, so it went from 4 letters a year to once a month. Now she's on a show. And but Steve in Canada probably remembers. I think he was a listener at the time, Sister Wenda. And I said, you know what? It was so basic. Her shows was very, you know, basic. Her dynamic was different. And I said I could talk about iridology, which was a study of the iris of the eye and the color of your eye. So I had gotten into that, oh, Jesus, maybe 10, 12 years ago or whatever. And it's very, very interesting. So anyway, while studying, I said maybe I could present some health, you know, things on there. We go live. It's an hour show. It's fun. She says she enjoyed it. I don't think she'd ever had anybody on before. And the next morning in the dining hall, Pastor calls us both to the table and says, you guys should do it together every week. So the dynamic was like, whoa. I mean, it hit me as like, oh, my Jesus. I didn't know. I had no clue to where we are now. So it was a dynamic where I'm under you. I'm following you. Whatever you're talking about, we're sharing stories, maybe bringing humor, you know, because the avenue was open for that. Not many listeners, right? So here we are every week. She's at least 60, I don't know, 62, 63-year-old woman, and I'm touching 30 or just past 30, something like that. And Mike goes silent, and we hit the button, and we're off air, and guess what? She's got something she wants to share with me. Okay. Y'all know if anybody's ever shared something with you, it automatically brings a spirit into the air. If it's not according to the law or walking uprightly, if there's any kind of shyster behavior, any form of lying. And she says she's leaving. She's planning to leave straightway. Hold on, pause. Wait a second. I'm almost 30. I'm like half your age. You're sharing with me why you put a lot of weight on me. And so in my mind, I'm saying, you have your husband was hand in hand, the first deacon this assembly ever had, and hand in hand with Pastor when he purchased the land in 1999. Who says 19 anymore? And now you're telling me after 16 years, if I'm not mistaken, 16 years, I just thought about something. You know, it's interesting. This opens up such a can of worms. I can't tell you how many stabs I've had in my heart and in my left arm from the enemy since this show started. Another dynamic that y'all would never know about behind the scenes. So anyone who still loves or supports her, right, or what she did, or if they know another story, if the perspective was completely different, it would be difficult to hear me right now, wouldn't it? So depending on who you surround yourself with, you got a perspective. You got a something that's been presented to you. You got a way you think. You got a way you see. It's heavy. It's heavy, okay? And I'm getting somewhere with this because you are witnesses, 1 Thessalonians You are witnesses, and the Most High also, how holy and justly and unblamely we behave ourselves, Paul said, among you that believe. You are a witness to our behavior. And so here he's talking about Ezekiel 18, shepherd is, and he's talking about blood on the hands, and y'all know throughout Ezekiel it's talking about, hey, you're going to blow the whistle. That's what they say in our day. You're going to blow the whistle. This is going on. You know about it. You're going to blow the whistle. So you just drop this weight on me, and my husband is going to be the first one to hear it because I can't carry this. So he tells me, give her 2 weeks to tell the man of Yah. That's a long time, right? That's a lot of mercy. You got 2 weeks to tell the man of Yah. Because you know what? You think it's going to go down your way. You plotting to leave. See, we done, like Pastor said, it's not our first rodeo. We done seen every which way somebody's going to leave. It's always going to be in the thin of the night, right, Diane?
Yeah.
With a U-Haul in the middle of Bible study. Everybody else in one location and you jetting on the other, packing boxes secretly, right? You want it to go your way, so you plot it your way. Oh, it's still in the hearts. And so Yah puts a light on it and says, I'm going to bring everything in the dark open, and I'm going to give you 2 weeks, right? So the next show, we're going on live on the next week's show. And I promise y'all, I heard that still small voice give me direction. When we went off the air live, and I thought, man, what a poor example to stand up in front of or to be on a microphone in front of people that you're confessing you live a certain way and that you love, but you're hiding this secret, right? And so after the show, I said, hey, Granny, yeah. If you was working a job and you needed off that job and you didn't want to burn that bridge, how much notice would you give them? He said, 2 weeks. I said, I'm going to give you 2 weeks. Because this community deserves more than that. Shepherd deserves more than that. 16 years, you've lived rent-free. And that's when the spirit of Yah took over. I'm telling y'all, if y'all was there, a fly on the wall as my witness. I'm like, and I'm afraid, man. You double my age. Paint this picture. I'm young. This never happened. I don't got somebody coaching me hand in hand with this woman. I'm face to face. What you gonna say? You gonna twist it? Lie on me? All that dynamic comes up. And so I said, you know, you lived 16 years here. You owe more than that just by your word and your integrity, you know. Leave in honor. Leave in honesty, you know. Talk about it. Say the why, you know. And if you don't want to say the why, we're just talking. I'm talking to her, hopefully, woman to woman. Man, guess what? Time came and went. She didn't cough up any kind of truth. So, of course, Deacon goes to Shepherd. And y'all know what time it was, right? Right before the feast of Passover. So the reason she didn't tell him is because, what if I can't go to the feast? You mean, what if you can't go dirty? She's going to partake, you know, just like some did this feast. You plot to partake and then jet. It's a method. It's a planned strategy. It's often. It occurs often. And so you didn't say. And so Deacon goes to Pastor. Pastor sends Deacon and me to her house. Here go the fear again. Oh, my God, I'm about to tell this woman we went up the chain because you didn't. You didn't do it right, so we did. But look, I'm coming up under the covering of my husband, under the strength of that authority, but at the same time coming out of the world, it's still... you know, there's an immature dynamic. You know what I mean? To learn loyalty of Yah, you have to climb up that chain. And so we go down, we sit at the kitchen table, and, you know, he knocks on the door. She comes in, you want tea, coffee, whatever, and we had always fellowship there. her husband was very, very instrumental in my husband's growth and who he was. You know, they're very, very close. My deacon's first son has his middle name, Leon, Zeph and Leon. And so we're sitting at the table, and we weren't there long before Deacon opened up. Now, remember, Deacon and Granny had never had any conversation before, never. So this is the first time that she's going to know that I went over your head, I talked to Deacon, and now Deacon's going to tell you Shepherd knows. And the Feast of Passover is just moments away, and guess what? Pastor said, pack your shit and get out. It's on our time and not yours. Now, at his own mercy, though, he extended it, so there's a lot of other details, and she actually did, she was able to, you know, say goodbye, fellowship, do whatever. But what happens is, man, Mother Jennifer, there's a thousand dynamics. I'm going to drop this. I'm going to ask you any thoughts. Now somebody leaves or departs. Now it's time to see who's on whose side, who is close, who keeps in contact, who keeps spitting information into her ear. Information's always leaked out of the community. Pastors always challenge our integrity. Why are you keeping these connections and running your mouth? Why when the Bells buried twin newborn sons, people were running their mouth? Why are you sending back accusations? Why are people off the land knowing it? Why am I in purification dealing with your lack of understanding and something I would never lay my mouth on? I never even spoke on air about it. But I got to go with my clearances as we speak. So there's a lot of conversations and communications in Israel that is not clean. And you bear witness on your judgment day, Mother Jennifer.
Sister Ashley, you said a lot. And I find it interesting that when someone has set in their heart, to leave or to go against the ministry or to speak against the ministry. It's interesting who you kind of watch the people who actually gravitate toward those people, or you actually watch the people who distance themselves. And so I've seen it over and over again. I've seen it so many times. And yes, it can be a painful thing if you've never been through it before and you experience someone leaving. You know, because if one part of the body hurts, then we all hurt. When you go through that for the very first time, it's something that you just don't expect. You know, you really don't expect it. But you kind of have to ask yourself, you know, what is it in me that allowed this person to feel comfortable to bring me this information? Like Sister Ashley said, you dump this on me. And then you expect me to hold all this in and to carry all of your sin on me. And so that's something that you have to consider, Daughters of Zion, when you have people coming to you, sharing information, you know, things that really should go directly to leadership. You have to learn how to even just stop those people from even approaching you with such garbage, with such mess. So that you don't have to walk around carrying all of their sins. And then you're walking around heavy. You're walking around with burdens on your shoulders. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Let me pull that clip back up. Let's see. I got a lot of tabs open here. All right. Give an ear. Let's finish this one up.
So don't tell me you can't stop generational curses. When you choose to serve God and fear him, you stop the generational curses. The way Yahshua would break it down and say, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Psalms 51 verse 17, the sacrifices of Yah, broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O Yah will not despise. Proverbs 16:19, it clearly says, better is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil of the proud. Matthew 5, verse 6, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. After, notice, you got to be hungry. You got to thirst. for righteousness. For they shall be filled. Preference that to Psalms 84, verse 2. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of Yahweh. Now, wait a minute. If your soul longeth, even fainteth, for the courts of Yahweh, is not the courts a place of judgment? Then why are you so busy running away from it if you're doing wrong?
Why are you so afraid and running from it if you're doing wrong? Hallelujah. Yah hates a proud look. He hates a lying tongue. He hates hands that shed innocent blood. He surely hates any form of unclean conversation that's withholding truth. We're called to be witnesses and to have great character in our behavior. And some of these things that he just ran down, you know, being hungry, being thirsty, being humble, and a broken and contrite spirit, those are the things that are requirements, that are payments and sacrifices for the things that we've done wrong. You know, so the nature change is off jump required, period. Nature change, period. And in our order here, it's out of the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. That's Deuteronomy. But really, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established, 2 Corinthians. So it's the same thing. It's out of the mouth of two. And then in the Old Covenant, you had to have that zeal and that Mother Jennifer said the word loyalty to Yah, but you had to have the hands as a witness that would be the first to put him or her to death, right? And you would put that evil away. And so one witness would not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin. If any had sinned a sin, it was out of the mouth of two. Remember that, because you had to have so much fear about the circumstance that was saying, I would be the first one to have to throw the stone to say this was wrong, you know. And so that's what I mean by this weight was dumped on me. And, you know, another circumstance where, if you want to say I had to snitch and I was challenged, I was actually, you know, communicating with a sister is a new dynamic to, if you're new to the ministry and you're, let's say you're assigned or you have a friend from another area that you're actually talking to and giving direction, it's a new dynamic to go, oh, man, I'm responsible for what I tell her and I'm responsible for how she responds. Because she's leaning to you wholeheartedly, believing that you'll represent Straightway and that you'll represent the order and our lawgiver, right? And so what happens, especially, you know, Mother Jennifer or those of us who have talked to many people throughout the years, you grow in responsibility because you meet the requirements in your life. You know, you walk uprightly, so it's no problem to give out the instruction because you're living by it. But anyway, when you handle these matters, like there was this particular sister who was telling me information about her husband. Her husband had unlawfully, unknowingly, to the elders, taken on another wife. And what I started doing was so-called making my best judgment or decision at the time, being really young early on. I wouldn't talk long, listen long, or, you know, that's that fear dynamic again, right? You're dumping on me. I'm trying to create that. I don't want to hear it without saying I don't want to hear it, which is very, very, what would I say, it flourishes in women, right? Because you're not lovers, right? You're easy to hate. And so it's easy to listen because you don't love to say anything about it or to challenge. And so there's a lot of growth that's required. So I'm listening to this sister, and when she would say things, and I didn't know at the time that the elders didn't know that this was a really hairy situation. So I began to just, I was thinking they knew, right? So I would just slowly, you know, stop taking the long conversations and the long calls and just kind of really short stabs. You know, you've probably all done it. You've all been in a conversation where you just didn't want to hear what was said, and you walk away with the rest of your day affected, going, what's wrong with your character that you wouldn't speak up or resist or say, you know what, you know? And so turns out, guess what? This situation was really hairy. It was awful. It was disrespectful. It ended up getting him banned out of the ministry for at least 2 years, and he was scheduled to arrive at the upcoming feast for the first time. And then I got this information that I'm like, oh, shit, I need to go tell Well, hey, you're late. You're super late. Like, what you had to say would have been great 3 months ago. Because now it all went down. Yeah, it went down the same way or a different way. But cough it up. You know, cough it up. And then sometimes you just aren't thinking it's important enough to pass up. You know, that was me. Like, what the heck? These people in California, man, I didn't know. But no, I see now. I see the bond that we have is really strong. You're thousands of miles away, another country or whatever. What you're going through needs to be expressed or passed up if it be a weighty matter, right? So I got that dynamic too. I got the one that I snitched and I got the one that I held back. And then when it's all said and done and your character takes the hit, you'll never repeat it. Because you're like, the pastor says, and when somebody leave, everybody want to line up and say they knew and they saw. And that's across the board because guess what? We all looking at each other like, yeah, she a tear, he a tear. His time's almost up. Ain't no telling what he's doing, right? Because the accuser of the brethren is cast down anyway. Accusations flying all over the place. Y'all trying to take us higher in love, and the spirit of fear just grips the mouth. Mother Jennifer.
You know, Sister Ashley, you said something that was really important. You said, you know, we just don't think it's important enough to mention. And one thing that I continually ask the Father for is discernment. Help me, Father, to discern the things that I need to hear, the things that I need to tune my ear to, and the things that I need to close my ear to. And he has definitely done that because I've been in situations where I have sat in front of Elder Rufus having to answer the question, why didn't you tell me about this? You know, did you know about this? Yes, sir, I did. Well, why didn't you tell me when you found out? Well, because I didn't think it was important. And I remember having that conversation. And from that point on, I told myself, I told Yah, I don't want to be in this situation anymore. So help me to discern what I should tune my ear to, what I should hear, and what I don't need to hear. And I remember him telling me, from now on, you just tell me everything. Just so we won't have this miscommunication anymore, you just tell me everything. And so it didn't matter what it was. I would just come to him and I'd say, hey, so-and-so said this. What do you think about this? And it was, you know, it was a level of protection for me. Now, some women who are rebellious might think that it's a major form of control or micromanaging or whatever, but he wanted to protect me. His motive was to protect me so that I wouldn't end up in a situation that I did not need to be in. And to me, for a man to show great love like that is truly major. And he taught me in those years, you know, the years that came behind that, he taught me how to truly discern what is important and what is not. So he's been very patient in that, and I'm definitely thankful. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. You know, going back to the courtroom for a moment and going back to your judgment seat and going back to you needing the Father's protection just in life in general. I mean, you don't know how judgment's going to fall on you. And so needing that protection means here you are, you and your judge. You have the ability day and night to get clean thoroughly. And he's saying to you, don't do this. Go that way. Shut up. Next time do it this way. Let me handle it. Move out of the way. Right? This is your judge. This is the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, guiding that lamp into your feet. Right? So that you'll be what? Protected. So how does he maneuver this dynamic? By a man in front of you. Okay, so back to the judge again. Judge says, did you listen to this man or this shepherd or my word or this leader or this elder? Did you listen when they said, let me handle it? Shut up. Stop. Do it this way. Move that way. Next time handle it that way. Did you listen? And you sit in your chair and you say, I did it my way. Well, you know, blessed be the name of Yahweh, going back to the letter. The daughter of Sarah says, I'm here to enter into the kingdom. No, 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 wait. You're here to tell me about these secret sins that have gone after you to judgment, the sins you never repented for. You mean I need to repent for, you know, not following? Yes. Not moving that way when you said? Yes. Yeah, because the evidence of heaven against you is that you couldn't follow instructions to a man, to my order. And so it's gonna be a bloody disaster, my sisters. It really is. And when judgment comes, when trial comes, when you plead your case here and now, you want to have evidence that is supportive of your tears and your crying out and your change and your deliverance. You know, when you didn't have answers, you still cried out and you still waited. You know, you want to be clean. And just like in Revelation, when you read about that book is opened, that case is opened, you know, and that book of life is opened. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the book, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that was in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. You want to be written in that Lamb's Book of Life. So we have a character that we have to uphold, that we actually lower our standard daily by our connections, you know, by our relationships and our friendships and by who's got title or who don't, who everybody loves or who don't, who they talk to or who they don't. You know, we're making wrong moves, and it's just creating a lot of fear. It really is. But may Yah lead us and clean us up, Mother Jennifer.
I wanted to say, you know, women, as the weaker vessel, we really need to understand and realize that we're not strong enough to hear a bunch of garbage being spewed out from other people. We're just not created for that. We were not made for that. So you really have to consider that if you have someone coming to you wanting to tell you things that you should not know, you got to realize that you are not strong enough. You are the weaker vessel. You're not strong enough to receive all that and still be able to righteously stand and to righteously live the life that Yahweh wants you to live. There's so much that happens after the fact. There's so much cleanup that has to take place, so much counseling from the leaders that has to take place to just really get somebody's mind right after they've had a viper in their ear or after they've listened to something that they should not have. There's so much cleanup and deliverance that has to take place after the fact. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. So we wanted to bring balance tonight, because as much as we share with you to trust one another and open up and be vulnerable and those types of things, we also want to present that the human nature dynamic, you know. How long we've been talking? Wow. So let's start wrapping it up. Look, you want to be able to have that man that's in your life, no matter who he is or how distant he is from you, if he's on the other side of the YouTube video and his name is Pastor Dow, or that man in your life that is your husband and your covering. You want to have great peace in his, let me handle it, next time handle it this way, shut up, stop, do this, move that way. You want to have peace with those instructions. It's nothing personal. You know, if you've ever had to give instruction or give it to your children, then you should have absolutely no problem going up the chain and following or listening. If you love your child, then you would respond the way you would want your child to. And so that gives us a lot of protection as women. It really does. So when you, like Mother Jennifer said, when you're holding something, we're not created to hold it. We're really not, no matter how strong you believe yourself to be. It's very weighty. And so you would want to tell your authority, whether it's, you know, they're just going to think it's no big deal, or maybe it's just me or the way I see it, or. But you know what? You're the one that needs to be free. And, you know, what Elder Mitch say, at the end of the day, it's about your soul, you know, saving your soul. It really is. So you want to be protected. You want to be covered. You want to get that stuff off your mind. And once you dump it on authority and they give you instruction, even if their instruction was, hey, sis, that's ridiculous, get over it, which is not going to be, all the way up to, hey, thanks for telling me, I'll look into it, I'll pass it up, whatever it is, it should be a relief to you. So you want to let go of all that fear that you were holding and all those thoughts that you were holding and say, now the Father's got me because I did it his way, you know. The scripture teaches about false witnesses that rise up. Absolutely. False witnesses that say this, that, and the other. And they were on record, you know. They were on record saying certain things. You know, there's also a dynamic in Jeremiah that I had come across this week, which I thought was interesting. It's kind of off to the side here for a second, because our current situation is, hey, this house and this land belongs to Straightway. No, it doesn't. Yes, it does. No, it doesn't. Hey, we paid for it. It's mine. You know, this, like, really shady dynamic is happening. And there was a situation in Jeremiah 32, and a man came to Jeremiah and said, hey, you're going to go buy that field. It's yours. You have the right of redemption, basically, which we wouldn't understand unless we're a cultural tribal people. You have the right of redemption, Jeremiah. Go get this field. And so here comes the opportunity. He weighs out the money. He subscribes the evidence. He seals the evidence. He took witnesses. This is all Jeremiah 32. He had the evidence of the purchase in the presence of the witnesses in what they call, Jeremiah 32, the book of purchase. They seal it up. They seal up the evidence. He says, hey, put this in an earthen vessel. You know, we would say safe these days. But hold on to this. This is evidence. This is great fear. So even you see the pattern of a transaction and how we're supposed to roll and deal with each other. You said this is the witnesses that you said even on a live video it belongs to us, you know, that this is for the saints. You got a ton of witnesses, so, hey, call forth a jury. Let's see where you stand, you know. It's really, it's scary stuff. The goal is to constantly come clean. And you know what? What if this person lies and my name is defamed and I lose all my reputation? So the hell what? You came clean. I mean, really, y'all, you got to take yourself to that lowest standard, that base, humble, contrite spirit that says, man, I'd lose it all if I could just be clean. Just don't take your spirit. Don't take your spirit. So I hope this helps anybody or somebody who needed to hear how our law kind of works. Like I said even earlier on, we got an email system for the women, and, you know, we get inquiries, and we send them the right way. We try to answer the majority of them the best way we can. And special thank yous to the participants who send out those emails, who throw themselves on the sword and say, hey, this is what I got going on. I'm being vulnerable. I'm laying it out there. I trust you, right? If you send an email to us, you're saying I trust you. And so that's the last thing. I just want to conclude on that. You want to trust. You want to trust. I'm going to say it again. You want to trust. If you don't, check your reasons. Really weigh it out. Do I trust Shepherd? Why or why not? Do I trust Elder Becker? Why or why not? Do I trust Elder Rufus? Why or why not? And get past that why not, because you have a cloud of witnesses that trust them, that lay down their lives, right? True witnesses that say, I judge no man according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. I follow these men. These are the men of Yah. This is what we're going to do. And so Hebrews says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I just had an interesting thought, Mother Jennifer. Say something before I talk too much.
I wanted to bring, before we end, I wanted to bring another dynamic of, you know, speaking up. You want to make sure that you are not holding something in and waiting until someone else speaks up, until everything is brought to light, and then you come and share what you've known or what you've held in for years, because then your character is going to be questioned. So if it's something that you know of, that you think needs to be shared, the sooner the better. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. And the recent scripture that was posted, if a man be found stealing any of his brethren of the children of Israel, making merchandise of him, or sell him, or them that thieve shall die, and thou shalt be put evil away from. Hey, if you had done no wrong, wouldn't you want to say that you hadn't? Man, I've handled some very strong false accusations in my life and in my walk. Very strong. Some of you'll never hear about it. You'll never know. Some of them are still living, you know. And if you ever have had that dynamic, like our shepherd, like certain men, leaders in the ministry, man, it motivates you to love. It motivates you to have so much mercy, to to express mercy and compassion, to let it be a part of your being. Because if you've ever felt the impact of accusations such as our shepherd has, you're not going to be the one to do it. Though he is so greatly accused, right, you can't say he will accuse. Because he's a man that's felt the pain of it, you know, so he walks contrary to it. So really, I don't know, there's a lot said tonight. I appreciated our letter from our law, not a student anymore. What do they get again when they're a lawyer? I don't know. Yeah, not the degree, right? Yes, the bar. Let's rewind. Thank you so much to our sister who passed the bar. She's a lawyer. I told somebody the other day, I said, y'all just don't know how stupid I really am. You could be talking about, I was talking to Marshayla about what? I was like, what? What are you saying? Jurisdictions and all this experience that she's got out there. I'm like, what? See, that's why we're all part of the body, because I can't understand a thing you're saying right now. We all got our place. Hallelujah. But, hey, I even stood up this recent Shabbat and got in between two young men that were doing some foolishness in the middle of the assembly, in the middle of the word. It's been burning in me week after week after week, and you go, well, you know, that ain't your place, and it's somebody else's children, or. But you know what? No, that ain't permitted here, so I'm going to take my chance on doing right. It never had nothing ever said do it, and nothing ever said don't do it. I don't got all them voices in my mind. I just simply never did anything about the foolishness, right? So this time, I corrected and said what I said, and it stopped, and they cleaned their behavior the whole service. And one young man came and said, thank you so much. I'm sorry that I, you know, disturbed you from the word. Thank you for the correction, you know. And then the other one, he's going to be the same arrogant asshole he's been from day one. And I'm looking at some of these, like, you don't start listening to these men, I'm going to say bye to you, just like I waved my hand bye to so many hundreds before you. And sometimes y'all just need to hear us talk this way so that you know we ain't deceived by any means necessary. We're just offering so much mercy because the dividend for your soul is so extravagant. It burns. It's fire. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, end the show.
And that is love. What Sister Ashley just talked about, that is love. And we need to see more of that instead of walking in, you know, just this fear of man. We really need to walk out the fear of Yah. So bless you, Sister Ashley, and thank you so much for loving Yah and loving Yah's people. Shalom, daughters of Zion.